This week on Miracle Monday, Michelle Wargo talks to Jane and Eduardo, a couple that went through a terrifying kidnapping ordeal but came out stronger because of it.
Your story is one that's just shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's shocking to me too. I still think of what happened to us and think, oh my gosh, how did this possibly happen to us? You know, we all go through life never expecting that we'll be victimized in especially in a way like this. And then suddenly something like this happens to you and you find yourself in the middle of it, and now you've got to figure out how you can navigate your way through. So it still shocks me to think about what happened.
So what did happen? You're with your husband, you're in Mexico, and...
Well, we lived in paradise. I met my husband at a supermarket, and I guess fate stepped in and brought us together. And we ended up, we met in the United States, but we ended up choosing Mexico to build our nest. And we chose San Miguel de Allende. It's a fabulous, fabulous little town. It's a World Heritage Site. It's an amazing place. And just sort of as a side note, it doesn't begin to compare to places like Juarez and these other cities that you hear about that are so riddled with violence today. It's not like that. It's still a very tranquil town. So we didn't expect anything like this to ever happen to us there. We had built a ranch. We founded a school when we saw that there was a need for different kinds of education in our town. So we founded a school with the help of other parents and brought a teacher from the States. And so that's where our children went. And we were living an ideal life. It was like a dream. You know, everything that I'd ever dreamed of having out of life, we had created there in Mexico. And it was a morning like any other morning, in summer morning. We were getting ready for the last days of school, and we were going to come to the U.S. for our summer vacation. And we were driving home after dropping off the kids. And out of nowhere, we were suddenly surrounded by SUVs. And before my brain could even register what was happening and figure it out, because it was just a matter of seconds, literally, there were people breaking through the windows of our Jeep with hammers and clubs and holding guns to our heads to pull us out. Ooh. So, yeah, literally from 1 second to the next, we were ripped out of paradise and thrown into the world of high-impact kidnapping.
So can you even remember what was going through your head at that second? Or, you know, you said it took your brain a while to catch up, because I would imagine you're just in shock, like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah, you know, it was seconds, and these people had obviously practiced what they were doing, and they were orchestrating it with military precision. You know, they used the element of surprise to their advantage. So suddenly we're being pulled out at gunpoint, and at first I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if this was a kidnapping. I didn't know if they were just going to kill us. I didn't know if we were going to be beaten to death. I mean, I had no idea what these people wanted from us. But you're in panic mode, and they pulled us from the car, and before I knew it, within moments, we were both in the back of an SUV, and there were pillowcases being pulled over our heads. And I was trying to just figure out what was going on. They did not speak. The kidnappers did not speak. That's how professional they were. I think they said all of two or three words to us the entire time. Because, of course, they don't want their voices to later be identifiable. Mm-hmm. So they were completely calm, and the next thing I heard was the sound of duct tape ripping, and I was pulled into the very back of the SUV while Eduardo was kept in the middle seat, and I was bound. My hands were bound in front of me with duct tape, as were my ankles. And The thing that occurred to me is I'm hearing Eduardo scream. He'd been hit over the head. They'd split his head open. Oh. And I was trying to calm him down. I was very concerned about him going into shock. I had injured my hand, but that was in my fighting the mm-hmm. kidnappers, actually. Believe it or not, for a moment I thought I could get away from them. But his injuries were pretty serious. So I was trying to calm him down, and then it occurred to me to ask the kidnapper who was putting the duct tape around my wrist if he had if he had children. I remembered that I had years Pryor read a book about miracles, creating miracles. And in this book, it talked about people who are put in situations with either serial rapists or murderers, or in horrible situations like this, and the few that go on to survive it. And the one thing they had in common was they had found a way to establish a relationship of empathy with their captors or with these criminals. So somehow, and it's amazing, you know, when you're in a situation like this, your mind, you're in shock, and you're trying to figure it all out and decipher what's going on. Yet at the same time, there was this keen way of mental function that I had never experienced before. I mean, my brain was supercharged, and it's amazing how many things that come to your mind in a matter of seconds when you have to figure out a way to survive, when your life is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked this man if he had any children, and with that, he very gently put his finger against my lips as if to say, shh. And I reached out to see if I could grab his hand, and he wouldn't let me, but he became very gentle with me suddenly, and that was when I thought, well, maybe I'm going to live through this. And before I knew it, a few moments later, I was abandoned in the first getaway car, and Eduardo was pulled from the SUV we were in and put into a second getaway car and taken away. And
they just left you there?
They abandoned me, yeah. Yeah, and after a few seconds, I realized that I was alone in the car. And I heard the sound of another car, and I no longer heard Eduardo screaming. So I assumed that they were taking him away in another car. And I took a big chance, and because my hands were bound in front of me, I was able to lift the pillowcase up from uncover my face, and I sat up to see what I could see, and I was able to actually get the license plate number of the car and memorize it, and get a good look at the car, and I saw which direction they went on the highway, and as soon as they could no longer see me, I was out of that car as fast as I could get, and managed to hop out to the highway and stop a bus. I got the information with the tag, the plate numbers and everything to the police in less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
And you would think that would have accomplished something, but it didn't. They had disappeared without a trace. And so one could also assume that there was likely some kind of cooperation with the local police. Maybe someone was on board with the kidnappers. I can only assume. Because it seemed there weren't that many ways out of town. It just seemed kind of like a no-brainer to me. Yet mm-hmm. they still got away with the kidnapping.
Wow.
Yeah. They had my husband for 7.5 months in the most brutal conditions you can even imagine. I mean, I never realized that humans could be that cruel to each other. It's still beyond me. It's very upsetting. So it was 7.5 months of torture for Eduardo in one way, yet with me being on the outside, having this responsibility and having to negotiate for my husband's life, I had my own kind of torture going on. And it's beyond words. I mean, how can you describe how that feels? You know, it was tremendous. And to be a mother to three children who are going through that right through all that with you, and to have to suddenly take on the responsibilities of everything, a business, the school that we helped to run, being mom, taking care of employees that depend on you to feed their families.
How did you not crack?
You know, I don't know. I just think that I knew I couldn't crack. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else was going to save my husband, the father of my children, if I cracked? It would have been too much of a luxury to crack.
So, Eduardo, you are the one that all of this happened to. What was going through your mind when you were with your captors?
I was tremendously confused. I didn't know exactly what was it all about. I didn't know what they wanted from me. And I was in a state of shock. I was bleeding. My head was cut open, and they tied my hands, and I didn't know exactly what they were after. They put me in a very small box that I only have about an inch on each side of my shoulders, and I have probably about 2.5 inches to touch the ceiling of the box. And when I lay down, I have probably about 10, 12 inches to touch the other side of the box where I have a bucket. They kept me there for 7.5 months, and they were playing the same CD over and over day and night, sometimes very, very loud. And they had a light on day and night, and they had a small camera, like one of those you use in the computers, inside the box. So they were watching me day and night. I was going crazy, and every time they will come inside the box, they will do something nasty to me. They shot me twice, once with a .45 caliber on my left leg, and then with a .22 2 weeks later in my left arm. And they broke my ribs, kicking me. They also cut me open 3 times the head by beating me up. I had cuts all over my back and my head full of bumps, and they just used to beat me in a brutal way.
Did they give you any medical attention after they shot you?
Yeah, they did, in a very primitive way, because they didn't want me to die, because they knew that if I had died, they wouldn't get any money for me. So they were trying to be cruel and nasty, but at the same time they were watching me close, not to get really in bad shape and die. They feed me very, very little. They used to wake me up sometime around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, kept me awake until around 2 o'clock, where they give me just maybe a hard boiled egg or just an apple. And then in the middle of the day, they will give me a salad and maybe about 4 bites of chicken. And then at night, they will give me a bigger portion of salad, and also about 4 or 5 bites of chicken. That's when they kept me on solid food, because I would say probably half of the time that I was in that box, they kept feeding me just baby puree. So they will do their own thing in the blender, and they will make sure that I had protein, and it tasted sometimes like it had meat in it, but very small portions. It was like just like a glass, a medium-sized glass in the morning. And 8 hours later, another glass of puree. And then at night, around 10 o'clock at night, another one of those. So you can imagine I was just pure, totally just bones and skin.
My gosh.
My regular weight is about 160 pounds. And I probably was about 80 pounds.
Once the first email arrived, they did leave a note at the scene where they had abandoned me in the first getaway car that I didn't see until I came back with the police in my hurry to get out to get the information to them. But the first email came, and they explained to me that everything would be done by email, and that they were demanding $8 million in exchange for my husband's return. And the whole thing unfolded that way. The internet can really, it's pretty much the Wild West when it comes to criminals being able to take advantage of the fact that you can be so anonymous. So that's how the whole thing was, and I had to negotiate based on what I was able to acquire through loans, personal loans from friends and family that I ultimately was able to get to raise money, because we didn't have $8 million.
Right. Not most people don't.
No, you don't have that in your back pocket that you can throw into a duffel bag and send down a dark alley. I mean, even people who are fairly well off, you have investments or properties or whatever, but we didn't have that kind of cash. So that was very difficult. It was difficult to convince these people of my reality. You know, they were sure that I could pay that kind of a or at least hoped that I could pay that kind of a ransom.
So during all of this was your, I mean, you know, you said you leaned on your faith, but you also had to question faith and question God and how
man
could... Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I was in search of answers. And I did meet with someone, a spiritual counselor at a certain point. I actually met with several of them, but the first one that I met with, one of the things that he said to me was I had to be able to pray for the kidnappers. And boy, oh boy.
That just makes you want to throw up.
I mean, I thought, how in the world do you do that? And he said, look, just try it. And he wrote it down for me. It was beautiful, very eloquent prayer. And I told him that I would work on it. You know, I was completely open to that. I wanted to do whatever it took to get me through this. And I tried, but my heart was never in it.
I felt the presence of God with me. I felt that I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. And the three things that I keep repeating myself thousands of times. The first one was keep your mind down, to be able to just focus in that these guys are not going to drive me out of my mind, because they were trying hard to do so. Mm-hmm. And the second one was trust the universe, which is in my mind, is the source where we come from, is the you know, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that higher being that is the source of who we are. And I will visualize the beautiful dark of the sky with the stars and the moon, and how grandiose, how precious is that when you see how insignificant we are against all this magnificent creation. And I will visualize that and will repeat myself, trust the universe. And then the last one, I will say that love can go through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I will feel the love and the presence of my kids and my wife. And I felt the presence. I'll talk to God all day long, because nobody else I could talk. So I know He was there with me, listening, and I felt the presence of God all the time. So that's the only thing that kept me alive. Of course, I want justice, because I don't want more people to go through what we all did. Mm-hmm. But I don't think of these guys with hate or anything like that. I don't want to put my mind in negativity. I want to go on and enjoy the opportunity that I have of being alive and being able to be part of helping my family to go through whatever they need me for. So I'm very thankful, and that's where my focus is into. Is
you've really shown us just through talking to you today that, you know, you can empower yourself, you can do anything if you don't give up on yourself, and that,
yeah,
forgiveness really is the key.
Forgiveness is absolutely the key. It's the biggest, you know, it's the one word I concentrate on every day. Whenever I'm feeling a down moment or I'm missing something about my old life, I remind myself of two things. One, forgiveness. And I stay focused on that work that I've done, because it's hugely empowering. It truly is the greatest gift you can give to yourself. And I think it applies to so many people. I mean, how many people out there need to forgive something? You know, so that's huge. But the other word is gratitude. I remind myself every single day when I get up in the morning, what am I grateful for? And it could be the worst day. I could be having a bad day. But I focus on, what am I grateful for? And there's always something you can be grateful for. And those are the two things that give me so much power and keep me going and keep me on track.
If people want to get involved and they want to do something, do you know where we can go? Should we contact our senators? What should we do?
Well, yeah, of course, all of that, you know, that people really care and the way the government is set up in this country. But obviously what we want to do is for Jenny to do well in selling the book because the editors will give her a second chance and a third chance. And in this first book, it was just about the kidnapping, but she has a lot to offer in terms of organizing and pressuring and creating, being more active as an activist, you know, just making sure that people can hear that all we're saying is that we want justice. And the best way to do it, like you say, is called that your congressman and your senator and telling them we need more involvement in the backyard of the United States, that a lot of things are not going well at all. And as a matter of fact, each month is getting worse. This last month of April, it broke records since the 4 years of all of this crime and the war that the Mexican government has against the organized crime. Last April was the worst month since the whole thing started. So they're not capable of doing things on their own. Mm-hmm. They don't have, number one, they have corruption big time, which is the biggest problem. Number two, they don't have the infrastructure that requires to go against these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, they need somebody like the United States to step in and help them doing their job right.
Yeah, we can't ignore it anymore.
Exactly. Something bad is going to happen, and it's going to turn into a very bad headache for the United States if they keep on ignoring what's happening down there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Jane, where can people follow your story and purchase the book and keep up with everything?
Well, the book is out there. It's at most major bookstores. I know that Borders and Barnes & Nobles are carrying it. It's also available on Amazon.com. And I don't have a website yet, but I will be establishing one right now. I do have a blog. It's in my my maiden name, actually. It's Jane Rager Valseca. It's R-A-G-E-R Valseca. And it's a WordPress blog, so people can reach me that way. And I'm happy to answer messages.
It's just amazing to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with me today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Now is your time. It's your new day. Morning has come. Hope found a way. Together we stand. Heart to heart, hand in hand. Dreams shining brightly once again. You are pressed on every side, but not forsaken. Though you've mourned and grieved, your cry is not unheard. You are loved and you are chosen.